You're listening to Tranquility Tribe, Episode 3, with Karen and Meg. Exploring honest journeys through therapy and open-hearted conversations about our well-being. Today we welcome Tom, who will share his interest in physical well-being and how linking with other therapies can complement each other. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well.
Excellent.
You. How are you?
I'm very well. So, shall we just dive into your world of physical activity?
Let's go for it.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what you do and what's brought you here as well.
So, I've been in the fitness industry now for nearly 10 years. So, I started off just PTing. So, I was working a normal 9-to-5 job and sitting behind a desk and didn't enjoy it and was very active with my own health and sport and being physical. And then I decided I wanted to be a personal trainer. So I took kind of a crash course over a 6-week period. And then, yeah, became a personal trainer and kind of never looked back from there, really. And it's been one hell of a journey, but there's still plenty left, hopefully, yeah. Going forward.
How did you feel that sort of changed your life, totally switching directions to be a personal trainer?
It's changed my life drastically. It's gone from working for a company to working for myself. And it started off by just doing a little bit of part-time work, just alongside my full-time job. And then about 7 years ago, that's when I took the plunge into full-time employment, self-employment. And it's been really, really good since. I can't knock it at all.
You must be very passionate about the sort of physical well-being aspect of living.
Yeah, and that's what drove me on. It is I wanted to improve my lifestyle at the time, and get fit and get healthier and compete and do competitions. I'd just come out of playing sport, so I kind of needed something to fill the thrill, effectively.
Yeah, natural progression almost.
Yeah, absolutely. And to carry on being competitive, but also to keep the drive of my career moving forward as well. I didn't just want to sit around and just let things go by. I wanted to kind of be in charge of my own destiny, really, and try and move forward and help people get fit and healthier. And I feel like I've done that along the way.
I mean, that's quite, you know, that's a substantial period of time that you've been in it now. Do you think that's changed the people that draw into doing physical activity? Was it more men initially than women, or was there quite a balance, or has that changed at all or stayed the same?
I'd say it's been a bit more of a balance, I would say. Say at the start, I would probably say it was more females at the start.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
And then as I've progressed through, I've kind of moved into sport a little bit more. So I still do the personal training side. I've had clients with me for 4 or 5 years.
Oh, good grief.
So we kind of built that relationship and created that bond that they just want to keep progressing and moving forward. And that's kind of testament to kind of all the work and hard work that I've put in over the last kind of 7 years.
How do you feel the sort of physical aspect links into people's mental health?
It's huge. I think it's something that mental health is something that kind of sits close to my heart in regards to kind of what I've been through with my lifestyle. So it kind of touches me when people say that the mental health's getting better because of the physical activities that they've been doing, whether or not with me, or it's just given them that kind of push to then be able to give them confidence to go into the gym themselves. And I think when you first start, you kind of think that you're just going to help everyone and everybody's going to lose weight and that's what it's all about. But I think looking back at it now, it's an eye-opener, because just by getting someone moving a little bit more, just by getting someone who might not have had the confidence to be able to walk into a gym and struggled with self-confidence, to be able to then do that is a little bit more, well, a lot more thrilling than somebody who just may lose the weight for a short period of time and then they might put it back on because it's only a short fix. So that's how my kind of philosophy's changed over the years. It's just helping people to be better, be active, and help change their lives and work on making them a little bit more confident moving forward.
That's incredible. Is it the what do you do? Do you get them running or strengthening, or you know what? How do you facilitate that?
It's working with them. So, I think when I first started, it was all about writing meal plans and diet plans and kind of trying to get them to do what you want them to do, if that makes sense. Whereas moving forward, it's having the conversations around what they enjoy. What do they enjoy? If they enjoy walking, if they don't enjoy running, then why would I want them to run effectively? Mm. Because if they're going to get enjoyment, if they're going to look at something long term, if I get them to run and they don't enjoy running, it's probably not going to last very long. So it's working with them. What do they enjoy doing in regards to exercise? Do they just want to do strength work? So they might just do some strength work in and around the gym. Some people might want to do something a little bit more intense. So it's just being able to adapt to work with what the best needs are for your client, really.
Mm. So I suppose you're having to really look at what barriers are there for people.
Absolutely, yeah.
And what are they in your experience?
Self-confidence is always a massive one in regards to, and this is where it links really nicely into the therapy side. It's kind of that fear, that fear of walking into a gym and people will say, people are going to look at me, and it's all the gyms of the stigma in the gym is it's full of like big henchmen and people are lifting really heavy weights and I'm only lifting little weights. And these are just some of the things you hear, but everybody's there for a reason. Everybody wants to either get stronger, fitter, healthier. They want to even improve their mental health. So I think it's everything's relevant, and it's just saying to them that it is relevant for you to just go into the gym and start little and just keep creeping and getting better and more, and that then the confidence will build.
In terms of percentage wise, how many people would you imagine percentage wise come in with, you know, wanting to feel better mentally and emotionally that they use the gym for?
I would say that it's a really high. I would say that that's 80% plus now. I would generally, back when I started, I would have said probably a lower percentage. I would say people would kind of just want to get stronger and just get bigger effectively. But now it's the gym's used for so many different things. And you see that there's so many different classes and like Pilates and yoga and there's so many good things that are helping people mentally. And that's, I believe, a massive reason why people go to the gym or do physical activity now.
So when you did your training, do you feel like you were taught a lot of skills that you would need to support people emotionally, or is that something you've done yourself?
Yeah, so it's going back to the start, when I first wanted to become a PT, you're thinking that you're just going to help people and people are going to lose weight. But you never taught. So you taught the skills in regards to help people do things safely. So do the exercises safely, do the movement safely. But you never kind of taught how to deal with kind of clients emotionally and how to deal with your own emotions and the things you may pick up from clients in regards to like energy, whether that's positive or negative energy. So that's something that I really struggled with at the start. So the first 3 or 4 years was kind of, well, the first couple of years were you kind of on this high because it's something new and it's something you're passionate about. But then it kind of settles in that it's a really difficult industry, not just for like the clientele, but also for practitioners as well. And I feel it's something I learnt in regards to for my own personal health and mental health, to go and talk to someone around kind of how I can deal with my own kind of struggles in life and how kind of sometimes negative energy within a gym or within kind of the industry can actually have an effect on practitioners.
Yeah, because when you're holding space for other people's transformations, that does have an impact on the practitioner.
Absolutely. And it's not just you might be working with that client for a certain amount of time, but then later on down the line, if that client starts to struggle mentally, or if they start to put the weight on and put even more weight on, it's you hold that burden a little bit. And that's why I think going back from just trying to get people to lose weight, it's actually trying to work with people, like, both physically and mentally. And I think that's something that I've added into my work, and that's working really well, because I'm always communicating with my clients, seeing how things are, how's the body feeling, how they're feeling mentally, and then taking that forward. And I feel like that's been a massive plus in regards to the way that I work.
That sounds really good.
Absolutely, because I think there's probably, percentage-wise, far less people doing that than there is more people doing that. But I think it's an incredibly important component to build in, because it doesn't matter what you're doing, people need to communicate. And I think as us as practitioners, it's incredibly important that we're very aware on an individual level of how people are.
Absolutely. Mm. And that's something we live in. Growing up in sport, it's all very competitive, and it's all very driven to result based. You want to win, and that's how I was brought up. But on the flip side, coming or how I've approached my work over the last few years, it's been very much like physical and mental. And that's just not me towards my clients. That's me towards myself as well, to make sure that I give myself the time and kind of awareness to be able to kind of just sit in or release that negative energy out that I need to then give my clients the best that I can give them.
How's your journey? I mean, forgive me, I'm presuming, but you've been into therapy.
I have.
How's that impacted your life, and how have you sort of been able to marry the sort of emotional and mental stuff with the physical aspect for yourself, really, as a personal journey rather than as a practitioner?
So it's a bit of a funny story. So when I first started therapy, you kind of, and I think this happens a lot, naively you think that you're just going to walk into your first therapy session and you're going to be cured within one or two sessions, and you talk for an hour and that's it, and you walk out and all your troubles have gone. But I can remember going to my first therapy session, and then it was, I think it was 12 months or 18 months. I kind of walked out and I was kind of like, that's not for me. And it was 12 to 18 months before I kind of thought to myself, I need to go and have a chat. Mm.
So was that just because you weren't ready for that, do you think?
Yeah, or? I think so. I think looking back now, we've been so aware now of kind of my struggles and my kind of mental health. I think back then, you just don't, you're struggling, but you just don't think that you need help sometimes. But going back 18 months later, and then since then, it's been kind of 5 years now that I go, not regular as in like weekly, but I'll go like once a month, and it's something that is part of my life and will stay a part of my life for as long as I'm here.
Is it something you've spoken to, not only to your clients, but to friends as well, to say, you know, that this is really beneficial?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's something that I've always been an advocate of. I think you see a lot with especially with males now around suicide, and there's so much awareness around about it. And I've always been a person that will speak out. And if I think at the start, you can be a little bit quiet because you think it's a weakness, but I think a lot of people, and my clients included, will respect you more for openly saying that, yeah, I've struggled in life, or I needed to go and speak to someone to get some help. And yeah, it's something that I've really taken to, in regards to, it's really opened my eyes up about my life, my upbringing, kind of my work, and how all these things affect you as a person. But then ultimately, if you're not aware, or if you're not speaking to someone around that, you're always going to be pushing it to the side. And then I think it has a negative effect on your work as well. And I think just being, if I'm wanting clients to be open and honest with me around what they're eating, how they're training, I feel I've got to be open and honest. And if I'll speak to them openly about kind of my struggles and my upbringing. And I think it builds a bond, and that's what you need in a in a kind of practitioner-client relationship.
That's beautiful. That's really good to hear, because we do hear so much about male suicide, especially at the moment. It's a difficult time, so it's great to see there's a few different things like Andy's Man Club, and a few more podcasts coming about with men talking openly.
And I think that's my message to that would be just to speak out and speak to friends about it and speak to family and go and see a therapist, go and speak to a professional. I always think people come and see me because they want some professional advice in regards to how they can change their life or from a physical aspect. So why can't I go and see a therapist to help them with some struggles that I might be going on in my life?
Yeah, because we're really passionate about the holistic approach to health, and you can't just fix one element or focus on one element like the physical and expect to get full results. It's a holistic response.
Absolutely, and I think I always feel that physical, and I think from a social media point of view, I think from a negative social media point of view, I think physical health sometimes can be used just to kind of push the mental to the side. So people might be struggling mentally and then they use the physical aspect to kind of forget about life and the struggles.
I think
there's a place for that within the industry. However, if you're training 6-7 days a week and your body's not recovering and you're kind of just pushing it to the side and you're not actually dealing with maybe your problems head on, which is why I think the physical and mental just works, like you say, holistic approach is the best approach for that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So do you feel there should be kind of more training and more joined up thinking with the mental and emotional and spiritual, the physical within a gym setting?
Absolutely. And no one ever taught me in regards to how to deal with, because I think with being like a personal trainer, you do become a little bit like a counsellor or a therapist, and that's, people will come and they will offload, and that's no negativity, not being negative towards the individual. Some people just find it comfortable to speak to you about their life and their struggles. And I think when that becomes offloaded, I think it's, as a practitioner, it's just finding ways to then deal with that yourself and kind of all that energy can build over time. And if that's happening on a daily basis, it's only a matter of time before something in your own life might pop. And then that's when the point where it's kind of like you've got to kind of approach it every day and not just let it build. And then kind of you've got to be proactive, not reactive to it.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, isn't it, that you talk about people come to you, and almost see you as a therapist as well as the PT. And I think that's interesting in lots of other professions that I hear from people that are dealing with people. It's almost the personal inroad into having somebody that they can talk to, irrespective of whether it's a therapist or PT or a nutritionalist or a herbalist or whatever. It doesn't, yoga teacher, it doesn't matter. People are, it almost feels like searching out just a space and a connection with people that they can start to make sense of their own experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's why therapy has a place in all of those kind of different industries, and what you've said in regards to nutrition, and especially nutrition. It's a massive field, nutrition is. When I first started, it was all about kind of nutrition and what you eat, and it is. But I'll push people more towards a nutritionist because that's their profession now. And I think, like talking about a holistic approach, it's important that kind of we all work together as practitioners in order to get the best out of it. And I will speak to my therapist about things that I may have experienced with my clients and what I might hold and get some advice that way. And my therapist might ask me for advice on some physical aspects. Yeah. And that's the way it should be. That's the way we should work. We should all work at like in an interdisciplinary basis, and that's really important.
I think so, because ultimately at the end, it's the client who's going to benefit from that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, unfortunately, we live in a bit of a society now where everything's been separated off. So, you know, forgive me, but going to the NHS, you might go to one person for this and one person, and not a lot of time do they talk to each other. Yeah. So it creates more problems than there is already to start with, really. Whereas if everybody's sitting around and, you know, trying to find ways which enable that person to grow from every angle, then surely that can only be a great thing for the client ultimately, and also a great thing for all the practitioners, because, you know, you're all having a space where you can discuss the impact of the work that you know, you're undertaking with clients as well.
Absolutely. And that's something, so like moving into sport, and I work with quite a few people within sport, and work at Crewe with the football club, and they do, we're trying to integrate kind of the sports psychology, the physical sports science element, and the nutritional element, and all trying to work together. Sure. In order to get the best outcome for the athletes, and that's important. And like speaking about other industries, it doesn't happen, and that's kind of where the client doesn't get the best outcome, and that's not fair in my opinion.
Sorry, Meg.
You can see it in team sports. So I follow football as well. I watch it. Well, I'm a big Barcelona fan.
Do you?
And I do. I do. But I can always tell when the team is happy. I'm like, oh, right, it's going to be a good season. They're happy. And there's just a vibe, isn't there? So it's that when a team is full of individuals and egos. So that, again, it's that joined up thinking that, team, kind of teamwork. It's just, yeah.
Teamwork is the most important. You can never be the best practitioner by just doing it on your own. You've got to liaise with other practitioners. You've got to speak out about things that might not be going well with your clients, and work together, because like you might pick up something from one practitioner that really helps you in your industry. And I think that's what the biggest thing that I've taken from my journey is, I went to therapy in order to help me with my personal struggles, but actually it's helped me within my career as well. Yeah. And that's been the most eye-opening thing that I've done.
It's like continued professional development, isn't it? It's like, you know, really respecting the role that you're in and bolstering yourself. And
yeah, absolutely. And it's making sure that you do everything that you can possibly do in order to be the best practitioner that you can be. And not just that, be yourself and be the best person you can be, because if I'm struggling and holding a lot of negative energy, then that's going to relate forward into my work. And that's, whereas if I come in, I'm working really hard and I'm putting time into myself and my meditation and walking and things that I do in order to help me with my release and my mental health, then that will be bring the best out of me as a coach and also as a person as well.
And I think it's interesting we talk about this sports psychology, excuse me, because if it's done at that professional level, you know, what we're actually doing is almost cascading this down onto a personal level then, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Incredibly important.
It's one thing I've learned from kind of my studies and things like that over the years is, in sports psychology, to use a phrase, to get the best athlete, you've got to focus on the person. Mm. So you don't focus, there's so much focus on the athlete and trying to be the best athlete and performance-wise, be the best that they can be, but sometimes that comes with too much pressure. So if you focus on the person and getting that person kind of bonding with others and kind of happy and smiling and wanting to go into work every day, if you get the best person, you'll get the best athlete. And that's something that I've learned in regards to myself. If I work on myself, then it will bring the best coach and practitioner out of me.
Absolutely. I think that's an incredible piece of advice. You know, if we're not, if you're only focusing on one element of this, how can you be good?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So if somebody's looking to start this kind of journey with physical therapy and they've not been in the gym for a very long time and it's feeling quite daunting, how would you advise them to go about finding the right PT for them and taking that leap?
Yeah, and it's about finding the levels, and I think that communication comes in, because someone might want to lose a certain amount of weight, or they might say, right, I want to train for a HYROX event or a CrossFit event or a marathon or something like that. And then the barriers might be that they don't want to come into the gym, or they struggle to come into the gym. So really it's just around trying to talk around that. I'll always say to people kind of when the quietest times are in the gym, and I'm lucky with the gym that I work at, that there is quiet areas. So I feel like it's important to break those barriers down as early as possible, but also you've got to work with it. You can't just throw them straight into a gym that's busy or straight into a class, and you've got to kind of take baby steps. But also you've got to try and break that barrier down effectively, because if you kind of keep tiptoeing around it, it comes back to that point where you're not being proactive, really. You're just pushing it to the side. Mm-hmm. Whereas I do find with that lack of confidence, I feel like it does tend to build over time. And it's just about being positive. At the end of the day, if they come into the gym, they do their first session with you, regardless of what happens in that session, it's just reiterating for them to walk through the door as a massive achievement. And that then builds their self-belief. And I've had it where people really struggle to walk into a gym first, and then a month down the line, they're starting to go in the gym themselves. And that's the biggest winner for me. Mm. It's not the work that I might do with them on a daily basis. It's what then happens after. So if I see people in the gym now who've said to me that they struggle to even walk into a gym, and now they're going in there on their own and they're training 3 or 4 times a week, and that for me is one of the biggest kind of thrills, because they've overcome that barrier, and they needed my help a little bit in regards to get them started and build that confidence, but then they've gone on to be able to take that responsibility to do it on their own.
So in terms of sort of barriers to coming in, you know, we talk here very much about a lack of confidence, but what other things would sort of stop people coming into the gym? Would it be maybe body image or...
Yeah, body image is the biggest one, because we still live in a world where it's we compare. So we compare with how other people look. We compare with kind of how we perceive people on social media. And that's a very difficult kind of wall to break down, effectively. But again, it's just finding the balance. And I always say balance, and we talk about therapy and it's all about balance. And this is where the two link in together again, because if you're too hype in regards to therapy or too down, you need to try and find a middle ground, whereas it's exactly the same with physical. People that go to the gym too much against people that are scared to walk into the gym. And I think that them two individuals can have... both have body image. So in regards to people that want to train too much, might struggle with their body image, because they may feel that they need to keep losing weight effectively. And then you've got the people that like really need to lose some weight, but then they're really scared to walk into a gym. So body image, I would say, is a very, very difficult one to tackle. But that's where therapy comes in, because you're talking to them about kind of the challenges that they face, and then you're actually advising them on how to overcome those challenges, and that's without even lifting a weight. So that's where therapy plays a massive part in trying to help people in regards to become better in regards to the way that they think about themselves.
Is there any particular sort of themes that you've faced over the time where people have struggled coming into the gym?
I think it's always numbers with people. Like it's a strange one. It's always about I need to hit this weight. And so people seem to have a weight in the mind of what they need to hit.
Interesting, that is. my mum, she got rid of scales when me and my sister hit our teenage years. She banned scales in the house because she didn't want us to obsess over numbers.
Yeah.
She's like, just, you know, be comfortable in your body, be happy and healthy.
And that's absolutely it. And this is why I think it's a really tough, like the physical, the fitness industry in regards to the physical aspect is a really difficult one, because you've got people will perceive people, they will look at people and they will be like, they're really like fit and they're healthy, but then that individual will want to lose more weight, and it's kind of like we're kind of building these people up to be kind of like the picture of health, but actually it's kind of their mindset is actually a negative mindset in regards to towards physical. So there's some massive challenges in regards to losing weight, and you have to be very careful with how you approach that with clients. But I try and just focus on if they want to focus on numbers, I'll focus on numbers in the gym in regards to weights that they're lifting, in regards to kind of what they're achieving. That might, for an example, it might be someone might say, right, I want to do a pull-up. So we'll focus on that as a bit of a target instead of what the numbers say on the scales. And I think it's important, and again, it comes down to the communication and the relationship you have, but it's very much making sure that if they're doing the right things in the gym, if they're doing the right things in regards to nutrition. And it doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to be better than what they're doing at the present point. And that's where you try and build small steps. Instead of going straight from kind of A to Z, you're trying to climb the ladder. And I think once you take that aspect out of it and you focus on areas that they have control of, the weight takes care of itself. And that's one thing that I've implemented into the way I work.
That's really good. Yeah.
Because like with nutrition, it's such a minefield, isn't it? And I can see how people can get very lost and they don't kind of know where to start with that. But if they're up in their physical activity, they need to get that balance right.
Absolutely. And that's nutrition. It is a minefield. And that's why I will always point people towards a nutritionist, especially if they're getting to the point where they're not losing weight and they're telling me that they're eating this amount of food. And I'll be like, go and see a nutritionist, because you've got things like intolerances that they might not know about. So there's so many different aspects. Genetics is a massive one. And I talk about genetics all the time with my clients, and they're like, well, I want to look like that person. But it's like, well, you've got completely two different body types. So you've got to be, but I still think even though you're explaining that, I still think we live in a world where you can say it as much as you want, but people kind of just don't take notice of it. But it's just trying to focus on the areas that they have control of. So they have control of the nutrition. They have control of showing up at the gym and showing up and putting the effort, putting the work in. And if they do that, the numbers on the scales will take care of themselves. And that's why I've never focused on numbers on the scales. I've always focused on the benefits they get from every time they walk into the gym, the benefits they get from every time they go for a walk and every time they do some physical activity. And I think if you focus on that, it becomes a lot healthier. And it provides a lot healthier mindset for the client.
You know, when you were talking earlier about your therapy and thinking that you're going to make me better in one session.
Exactly.
I was just thinking about that with you, really, and it's about longevity rather than coming in and going, yes, if you do this, you're going to have big muscles and, you know, lose weight quickly.
Yeah.
There's something about commitment. You know, there's got to be that sort of commitment from the clients as well, hasn't there?
Absolutely. And that's looking back at my journey in therapy. And, yeah, I was working in the industry and I was talking to people on a daily basis, saying to people and clients that it takes time. It's longevity. You're going to have to put a lot of time and effort over a long period of time. But I've always said to my clients, I still want you to do the things that you enjoy, and that's important. You've got to make sacrifices, but if you're sacrificing a lot of the things that you enjoy, then it's not going to make you happy. So you've got to work with them with their lifestyle. But in regards to my therapy, yeah, I walked in and thought I was going to get cured within the hour I was there. And looking back on it now, you think to yourself, well, you were telling your clients completely the opposite. So that was a big eye-opener for me. And I think with therapy for me, you kind of just, that's how I thought. That's how I thought what therapy would do. I'd just walk in and all your problems would go away. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's 5 years down the line, it's the longevity. And now I know a lot more about myself and kind of my upbringing and the things that have maybe provided a bit of trauma to me in my life, that to be able to deal with that and move forward. And I think that's really shown on my clients as well, because I will always talk about my struggles and my personal experiences. And I think that creates a big kind of bond with the client, because if you're sharing your experience and it's not weakness, but you're sharing something that you might perceive as a weakness, but for them it brings strength out in them, I think, and that's something that therapy's taught me over the last 5 years.
Because it's a marathon, not a sprint, isn't it?
It is. And if you train for a marathon, you can't train for a marathon in a short period of time. You want to be doing it over like a long period of time. And at the end of the day, I say to people, if you're running or if you're walking or if you're going to the gym just to keep yourself in a good physical shape, you want to still be doing this when you're 60. You want to still be doing this when you're 70. And I think now I look at more of the body health as well. So in regards to, like, as we're getting older, you see people that might have like knee replacements or hip replacements. And I think if we can build the strength and if we can do it in the right way, and as well as providing or giving them the opportunity to improve their mental health, I think later on down the line, the body's going to be in a lot better position and stronger position. And that's why the longevity is important.
Absolutely, because I don't think we've ever done that before.
Because injuries can really set you, on a bad track, can't they? You can't train like you used to, you can't do what you used to do, and then your fitness starts to slip, especially as you're getting older. So do you do a lot of work around kind of rehabilitation around injuries?
Yeah, so it's something I've kind of picked up over the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 years, really, and that's coming from just doing a little bit more education myself and doing a few more qualifications myself, and I really enjoy the rehab because it's different. You've got people coming in with an injury, I love the balance of the work that I do. I love working with the person that wants to lose weight or wants to improve their mental health, but I also love like the rehab ones as well, because it's massively important to rehab an injury right. So if you have a hip replacement, knee replacement, to rehab the injury right. But you're right in regards to what you said about kind of if people are getting injuries and then they can't do what they've done for the last 20 years, it then drives down a mental health road where they're really going to start to struggle mentally. And that, for me, if people come to me and they might have tendonitis from running, and they can't kind of shift it and they're trying to stop running, and every time they run and just rehabbing that over, say, a 6 week period, and then just getting messages from people saying, well, I'm back to running again, I've just run a 5k and I had no issues, or I've got a lower back, and again, it's the thrill of what the service that you provide is actually helping someone, not only physically, but when you get text messages like that, you know it's helping them mentally. They're off doing what they enjoy. But also, I've always tried to educate everyone that I work with, and that's massively important. Instead of just telling someone what to do, you're telling them why they're doing it. Yeah. And the why is the most important thing, because if they go away with knowledge that they can implement in their physical and mental health going forward, then then that's a winner, because then if they start to get injuries again or things start to flare up, or if they just carry on doing the rehab long term, it's probably going to keep the injury away at arm's length, and that's massively important to educate.
Mm. We talked earlier about social media and some of the negative impacts. Are there ways that you use social media positively and to help with the process?
Yeah, so I've always tried to promote movement quality. I think that's in sport where I work as well. It's all about movement quality. If someone moves well, then it's going to reduce the risk of injury long term. And strength is another one. So strength doesn't need to be lifting double your body weight in a squat. And I think that's what we all chase when you're young. But as you get older, doing a 200 kilo back squat is not really going to benefit me long term. If anything, it's probably going to put more stress and strain on my joints, my lower back. Mm-hmm. So it's more around just trying to keep slowly building the strength or maintain your strength as you're getting older, which is from a longevity. As we know, as you get older, science will tell you that things start to slow down, and we start to we could generate some kind of issues from a biomechanics point of view. But I think by keep working on strength is something that I would push going forward.
That's good.
Wonderful. So,
yeah, have you got anything, any other thoughts that you'd like to bring to the table? The things in the world of PT that are making you really passionate and excited at the moment?
I don't see as many young PTs around there at the moment. I don't know if that's quite an interesting kind of topic to talk about, really, because since I did mine kind of 10 years ago, I don't really see too many young people taking it on now. I don't know if that's because it's changed a lot over the years. It has become more mental. So is that something that the younger generation may struggle to deal with? Is there reasons for that? Because it's so important, being a personal trainer, you're helping people to improve their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But it's quite interesting that there's not a lot of young people out there that are wanting to train to be a coach.
That is interesting. Yeah. Because I think in this day and age, everyone's in their head a little bit too much. So, yeah, we do need opportunities to get more into our bodies.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, but my message to someone who, like I have always been active and always played sport, and this job kind of brings the best out of me, and I was passionate and wanted to keep progressing myself and help people and move forward. And my advice would be to just follow what you want to do. But also be aware of kind of like the journey along the way, like what I struggled in regards to the mental side of it, throughout my journey. But I feel like I've kind of got a better balance with that now, because I'm a lot more aware of it, and that's important. But I feel my advice to the younger generation would be to kind of speak to people about kind of how you feel in your mental side, and go and see a therapist, because they really do help you understand things that may have gone on in your life that you might not think have affected you, but actually may have affected you. And that's something that it's brought the best out of me in regards to just being more aware of these things. And I think that's really important for the younger generation and the younger practitioners that may become personal trainers in the future.
Yeah. Like, we need to make therapy cool again, don't we?
Yeah.
And I think campaign.
And physical exercise. Yeah. Everything needs to be cool. Yeah.
And I think that's an important point in regards to making it fun, because, and I'm just going from my personal experience, I was so nervous the first time before I went to see a therapist. And that's something, I was nervous the first time. Then when I went back, I was even more nervous, because I was kind of like, I don't really know what to expect. But you're putting yourself in a really uncomfortable position. But actually, it's something that should, not should, but you want to just kind of normalize it. At the end of the day, it's it's something that happens all over the world. And that's why I think therapy is important, but I also think it shouldn't, because it is a big step, but that shouldn't be the reason why people shouldn't go and speak to someone. And also, I don't think you should go. I went because I was having problems in my life, but I don't think you should go just if you've got problems going on in your life. I think it's good just to go, just to have a chat, just to have a chat with someone about things that may be going on in your life and things that you might have a little bit of stress. You might not be struggling with anything, but you might just have a little bit of stress, or you might just need a little bit of balance in your life in regards to, someone might just say, well, why don't you try to meditate, or why don't you go for a walk, or why don't you do some yoga? And I think that's important, that doesn't always have to be a problem in order to go and see a therapist. And that's what I do now. I feel like I've got a better control, but I continue to go and see my therapist because I feel it's important to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes I can just go and have a chat and I feel that brings the best out of me in regards to then my personal and also my working life.
Yeah. I think in regards to young people, one of the things also apart from therapy is about getting out of the house, and it is about physical exercise as well, because so many young people are on computers these days. It makes the world very small. So, you know, as much as therapy is very good, people need to exercise. Yeah. They need to consider the physical bodies as well, especially young people.
More so now. I think when I was younger, we used to have to go out and play, and I think that naturally. And this is why sport's great as well, because sport gets you out and it gets you active and it gets you moving in different directions and generates different skill sets. And I've always said the people who I've worked with over the last 10 years, I can always tell the people that have played sport and haven't played. So they get to an older age, and the people that have played sport and haven't played sport, you normally find the people that have played sport tend to generally move a little bit better than people that may haven't. Yeah. So my advice is to play sport if you can play sport, or just get out and walk and go and see your friends and go out to the park and just try and get out as much as you can, because with social media, with kind of game consoles and things like that, it's going down a path where I think you're going to have a lot of younger people struggling more with mental health, and I think that's the worry that I look at in society at the moment.
Well, good advice. Yeah. Lovely. So,
yeah, thank you so much for
thank
sharing.
Thank you, Tom.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely incredible. Thank you very much.